Thank you, Jesus, for everybody here and for this time that we're able to be together. And Lord, most importantly, we thank you for your faithful presence here, that you're with us, Lord, and that you renew and revive and restore and refresh and encourage and build and correct and all those good things that we need in our lives, Lord. Thank you for doing a work in me too, Lord. I know that I can't be anything without you. Hallelujah. I can't do anything of eternal value without you. Hallelujah. We can't produce any fruit apart from him. Amen. Who is the source of all good fruit. Hallelujah. The fruit of life. Hallelujah. All those good things, all those things that often people are searching for in the world are found in Christ. He is the fullness of everything that anybody could ever want or desire. And the enemy wants to blind people to that. He wants to distract people by lesser, inferior things and get us preoccupied with stuff that doesn't satisfy. How many know what I'm talking about? And after you indulge that fruit, you're like, it left a bad taste in my mouth, didn't it? It tasted good going down, but later it didn't taste so good. Especially when it was coming back up, right? Yeah. So TMI, I know, but God forbid that we should ever replace his presence with church activity, with acts of service even. Programs, they should always be secondary to his presence. Do you understand that we can do all the church stuff and completely miss Jesus? And there's people doing it, folks. Every week they go and they show up and they do this thing. You know, this activity, church activity. You know, well, I have nothing better to do. I'll go get entertained by the band. Or I'll listen to that preacher. I like that preacher. He tells funny jokes, you know. Whatever. You know, it should never be about the singing. It should never be about even the preaching. It shouldn't be about the programs. It shouldn't be about, well, this church has it better than this church. Are you hearing me? Well, I like this church even because it makes me feel comfortable. It shouldn't even be about our comfort that we come to church. Amen? It should be always about who?
Jesus.
If he is not the main event, if he's not the reason, or the center, or the foundation of everything we do, and everything we speak, then we're missing it. God wants us to know him. God wants us to encounter him. God wants a relationship with us. Amen? Everything that amounts to anything in life will be built upon the foundation of Christ, and it will flow from the heart of Christ. Are you hearing me? The heart of God. Through us and out of us. God wants his people to want him. And I have seen where churches have begun in the river, have begun in the fire. They couldn't wait to get together with God's people. Every time the doors are open, they were there before the doors are open. They couldn't wait to get there. Are you hearing me? I can remember even when it would snow, people were so bummed out that it snowed. And he said, we're going to go anyways. We got four-wheel drive. When we came, we had service even in the snowstorm because people were so hungry and so excited about God to discover what was going to happen next. They just never knew. But we came with that sense of awe and wonder as a child, discovering new things, seeing new facets of Jesus, amen, having an encounter with God that each time was a little more unique than the other time. It was different, but it was still life-giving, and it was exciting as we were on fire. Hearts are burning, and we would come to meetings, and we would start out at 6 o'clock, and we wouldn't get out to 11:30, 12 o'clock, and nobody wanted to go home because we just wanted to be in the glory. Amen. Amen. And we wanted to be together, and the work God was working through the body of Christ, and people were discovering their gifts and exercising their gifts, and it was just an amazing thing to watch. And then we start doing the programs, which are okay. Amen. As long as they're in right priority. Amen. And sometimes what happens, though, is things start to go like this. Here's the presence of God and here's the programs. God always first, and then we work through programs. Amen. All right. And then after a period of time, it starts to go like this. They start to get closer together. They start to merge. You know, all of a sudden we're starting to get even a little bit to where, you know what, I don't really need to pray like I used to. I got my lesson down. I know what we're going to do. I know what's going to happen ahead of time. And we come and we wing it. We do this thing. We get it over with. Are you hearing me? And all of a sudden, it's going like this. And it's starting to actually turn to the other direction to now. Now, it's all about just doing a thing. Attending an event. Are you hearing me? And somehow, Jesus gets lost. No longer is it about the presence of God and the excitement of encountering Him, of knowing Him, and the desire to worship Him. And are you hearing me today? And to where our world is enthralled in His love, just we're saturated with Jesus. And out of our hearts, out of our bellies, and out of our mouths comes the expression of love and of gratitude and praise and thanksgiving. And I don't want to talk about the ball game. I want to talk about Jesus, because Jesus is life. Because your heart is burning for Him. God wants you and I to be lit up for Him. He wants our candle burning for Him. Are you hearing me today? He wants His people to be red hot for Him. He doesn't want lukewarmness in His church. And we become lukewarm when we start to divert away from His presence into church activity and even acts of service. And sometimes we think just doing things for God is what it's all about now. Rather than walking with God, now we're working for God. And once in a while, we'll check in with God just to see if there's anything new happening. Are you hearing me today? We are a church that was born in the fire. Amen? And God's been raising us in the flames. And we want to stay in the flames. We want to stay in the presence. We want to be people who are all about Jesus, all about His presence. When we come here, it's not social hour. It's Jesus time. Amen. He is the main event. He's the reason why we're here. And we come and we seek His face. We pray. Amen. Because we want His presence. I want His presence more than I want to say hi to Joe and Sally. Amen. Because what happens is churches start out in the fire, and all of a sudden now they become social clubs. They shift to now, it's just nothing more than a social gathering. And I go and I meet with my friends, and we have great fellowship, and fellowship is important. It's good. But how many know that we can miss the main event because we're more concerned about meeting with Joe than we are with Jesus? Are you hearing me, somebody? The Lord waits for us. He patiently waits for us to respond to His invitation for fellowship. To say yes. Everything else is secondary to Him. Jesus first. Jesus only. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. It's possible for churches to go to do the music, to do the preaching, to have the programs, amen, to have all that, and yet not even have Jesus. You get that? There are people that are going through all the motions, long time they have disconnected, even coming before God and singing the songs, but Jesus even said to the Pharisees, you draw near to me and you show love with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You know, I've been guilty of that at times. I think I've sang songs just because you're supposed to. I sang songs because others were singing and I didn't want to look like the oddball. So I'm going to sing too. Come on. The conformity thing, the pressure to do what everybody else is doing. But you know what? We should be together and we should be singing together, but we should be singing as what? Unto the Lord and only unto Him. When we're up here on this worship team, amen, it's not about entertaining a crowd. Amen. We're entertaining Jesus up here. We're singing to the Lord up here. That's got to be our focus. Amen. What if we say for the next month, we're not going to have the worship team. We're just going to get together and enjoy Jesus without the music. Well, you can't enjoy Jesus without music. We'll make up our own song. Amen. We'll sing a new song. Now some of you are saying, well, I hope he's not serious about this. Well, why not? Now I know how you really feel about us. So. No. Just kidding. Anyways, do you understand that if we don't have Jesus at the center of it all, if we're not here to pursue Him, you see some others, they come and they just want the information. Just give me another self-help message so I can improve upon my life. How many know that God doesn't just improve upon your life? He transforms your life. But you're not going to be transformed if you're not in the presence, amen, or in the fire of God, the refining presence of God who will purify, amen, and He will conform us. You will become like the one you behold, like the one that you pursue. Amen? Even in this world, people are trying to be like, what's the latest ones? Britney Spears and some of them. That's probably old school now. I don't know. But they dress like, act like, talk like their favorite celebrities. Amen? And because they want to be like that person. And so they have all their music and they go to their concerts. And come on, I was there once. I was a long hair rock and roll band, you know, kind of guy back in the day. And so we all dress like, you know, whatever our favorite Aerosmith or whatever it was in the day, Zeppelin. You know, and because we were beholding them and we were actually becoming like the ones we were worshiping. Do you understand? You can worship celebrities. You can worship music itself. You can be conformed to the thing that you behold. God wants us to become like Him. He wants us to become like Christ. And we become like Christ when you spend time in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Yes. He is the one that transforms our earthly image into the image of the heavenly. Amen? Now listen, God is not going to patch up the old man or the sin nature. He's not improving upon my old life. Amen? And making it a better life. God says you have to scrap completely that old life. And you need to get a new heart. And I'll put my spirit in you and you'll become a son. You'll become a daughter. And then you will learn through disciplines, amen, in the spirit, how to walk as a child of mine. God wants to discipline His children and teach us how to walk just like Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus Himself learned obedience through the things He suffered. Not that He was in sin, but there was a discipline in His life that God was working. And you and I need to be disciplined people. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We have to take control of ourselves and tell ourselves what you're going to do. Because if you don't, that flesh and that devil is going to get the better of you. In the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form. And that word form means wasteland, desolate wilderness, worthless, or place of confusion. In other words, it was a chaotic situation. And it says the earth was without form and it was void. And that word void means to be empty or a vacuum. So there was emptiness and there was confusion before God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And God divided the day from the night, didn't he? It says, "Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, and that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." This was the state of the earth prior to God speaking into it. Where there is no God, where there is no Word of God, there is confusion, there is darkness, there is waste. Are you hearing me? There is chaos. There is confusion in the absence of God's presence. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And where He is not, is a place of darkness, chaos, confusion, of waste. As the Lord spoke to the earth and to the void, He wants to speak into the void of our hearts, of mankind. It's the entrance of God's Word that brings light. God wants to speak, amen, into our darkness. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. We live by the Word of God. We cannot live simply by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The entrance of God's Word brings light. Where there is light, the darkness cannot abide. God divided the light from the darkness. God wants to divide the light from the darkness in the hearts of mankind. Amen. And He does that through His spoken Word. Someone once asked, "What is evil?" Or, "Where did evil come from?" Well, evil is the absence of light. Evil is any place where God is not. In 1 John 1:5, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." An evil spirit, an evil person, is someone who dwells in darkness. And where there's darkness, there's confusion. There's chaos. You know what I'm talking about? Has your life ever been chaotic? Have you ever lived in darkness? I have. And I know what it's like to be in darkness, to be confused, to live in chaos, to have a lack of peace and harmony in my life. Where God is not, it is dark. And where it is dark, it is chaotic. God wants to shine His light into the voids of our hearts and bring light, bring revelation, bring truth. And when you know truth, the truth sets you free. Amen? Truth always overcomes the lie. And so the enemy is going to try to stop you and I from reading this Word, understanding God's Word, understanding God's way, amen, getting that Word in us, because he knows when the entrance of the Word comes, it brings light, it brings revelation.
Yes, amen.
But we've got to get that Word from the head to the heart. Come on, somebody. Do you understand? There's people that can quote scriptures amazingly. Very sharp-minded people, but they walk in darkness. How can that be? Because the word needs to enter into the heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart. I've hid your word in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. And David is a man that had the Spirit, remember? Only in the old covenant, only the prophets, priests, and kings had the anointing, had the Spirit. But today, God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on what? All flesh. So all of us, amen, can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So where God is, there is light. Where God is not, is darkness. The enemy can only abide in the dark places, come on, where we refuse to give God access. If we refuse to give God access to areas of our lives, our hearts, when we refuse to repent and turn away from things that God says no to, then we willingly give access for the enemy to camp out and operate in our hearts and our lives. He's simply looking for a place of entrance. But God wants His people to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of Him, full of His light, no place dark at all, just like Jesus in Him was light. Amen? He is the light. That word for darkness, it says, in Him is no darkness. It means misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness, night, obscurity. Darkness was on the face of the deep. That place where God is not. And this is the condition of human beings, isn't it? Apart from God. What God did is basically, He filled that void with His presence. God is a life-giving Spirit. So where God speaks, there is life. He spoke into the darkness and there was light. Amen? Before there was even any evidence of light, there was first the sound, what? Of God's voice as He spoke. And then there was light. And where there was light, the darkness no longer, amen, could be there. And so there was a quickening. There was life, amen, given to the void. And God created. Are you hearing me? The earth. And all things were created and are even sustained by the word of His power. God spoke and it was so. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God says, it's good. But God divided the night from the day. How many know that light and darkness cannot cohabitate? Wherever a person is compromising in their lives, they're giving permission for darkness, amen, to abide. And in the darkness is where the devil will camp out. And wherever the devil is, he creates confusion and chaos in your life. How many would say it's a good idea that people repent and turn to God fully and surrender their hearts, their lives completely, so that God can completely possess them, fill them, amen, and overflow their lives, and we can be expression of God's heart in this world? The reason we see so much disorder today in the earth is because either man is ignorant of the truth, because they don't know. There was a time when I didn't know. How about you? And I'm getting to know. Or man is unwilling to receive the truth, the love of the truth. Man is unwilling to let God reign over him. So as long as people are in rebellion to God's rule, they've basically given over to themselves over to darkness, and the enemy will rule their lives from that place of darkness. That's what a stronghold is. It's a place of safety that someone gives to the enemy by sympathizing with sin. Are you hearing me? Where there's areas and we refused to yield to the Word of God, we're giving the enemy license to continue to operate, and he just wants to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have and life more abundantly. And because of this rebellion, the devil's able to create chaos in the hearts of man. And of course, whatever's in the heart eventually comes out, doesn't it? and it manifests in our world today. And the reason why we see the world becoming increasingly more wicked is because man continues to refuse the righteous rule of God in their lives. Man refuses the love of the truth that they might be saved. I want to just say something here. The Bible says where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. And so there is an acceleration of evil in our world, but at the same time, God is accelerating His church. God is moving powerfully in the earth. God is looking for a people who will cooperate with Him to go about and do what Jesus did, and that is destroy the works of the devil. You understand? You can't be in a position to destroy the works of the devil if you're in bed with the devil. God wants us to get, amen, out of league with Him and in league with Him so that we can do what Jesus did. Hallelujah. See, the enemy wants to get us to compromise. Why? Because he then wants to accuse. How many of you know I'm talking to you? How many heard that voice before? He wants to accuse. He wants to bring you into self-condemnation. Because if you don't have confidence towards God, because you're in condemnation, self-condemnation, then you won't have confidence to serve God. So you'll be no threat to the enemy. But what we need to understand is God's grace much more abounds. His grace is greater than all of our sin. If we sin, we simply turn to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And He does. And if that voice comes back and says, oh, you're not forgiven. Get out of here, devil. I'm going to believe what God said. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what I believe. How about you? There's no condemnation because I'm in Christ Jesus. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, let no one deceive you by any means. Now, what was going on here was there was a letter being circulated to the church that the day of the Lord had already come. The time when the Lord was going to come and take His people. Are you hearing me? And some of the saints were troubled because they thought that they must have missed the day of the Lord. They must have missed the rapture. All right? And so he's comforting the church. He says, listen, I don't care if it was a letter from anybody. This is the deal. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, somebody say that day. What day is he talking about? The day of the Lord. Amen. Will not come unless the falling away comes first. That falling away is what? It means apostasy. What is an apostasy? It means someone that was in right standing has fallen from that right standing. They've left that place of good standing. So he says this is going to be the order of events. First, he says there's going to be a falling away. And then the man of sin is revealed. Who's the man of sin? Right, the Antichrist, right? The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God, where? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I know there's a lot being said about, you know, the rebuilding of the third temple, right, in Jerusalem. And there are plans to actually rebuild the temple. But how many know that God does not live in a temple made by hands? But he lives in us, in people. Amen. But the Bible says that the Antichrist, or that spirit of Antichrist, will sit as though he was God. Where? In the temple of God. Now, who is the temple of the Holy Spirit? People, right? This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what's going to happen is there's going to be a false Christ, a false Jesus being presented, and people are going to exalt this false Jesus as the true Jesus, and in their hearts they will worship Satan and not even realize it. And the reason why, and we'll go on to read, it says because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So when people reject truth, when they reject the Word of God, when they reject the revelation of God, they're giving permission, amen, for a false spirit to come and abide. Because where there's darkness, the enemy can abide. But he cannot abide in the light. That's why we must not give any place to the devil. No room. Speak to the hand, devil. Not welcome. Amen? Say no to temptation and yes to Jesus. He said, do you remember when I was with you, I told you these things. Verse 6, he said, now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So there's a restraining force in the earth that is preventing the Antichrist from coming to his full reign. Are you hearing me, somebody? Do you see that? So while we see the mystery of iniquity at work, an acceleration of evil, we're also seeing the acceleration of the church.
Amen.
Because God's getting a people ready. God is preparing His bride, His people. And as He went away, He's coming again to receive us. That where He is, we can also be with Him. Amen? So we need to be ready. We need to be watchful. We need to be prayerful. We need to be people of His presence. Amen? We don't want to be caught up in religiosity and just acts of service that are void of His presence. Now, are you understanding? The true works that make a difference are the works that are birthed in and out of God. Are you hearing me? Out of His heart flows true ministry. It's not about learning some things and some facts and some figures and presenting some information. If Christ is not in it, it is void of life. It is void of light. Are you hearing me? And that's why sometimes people can actually destroy with the Word of God rather than restore and heal and build. Because a legalist is one who has a loveless devotion to Christ. Are you hearing me? In other words, they're doing what they know is right to do apart from a relationship with Jesus. And there's no life apart from Jesus. What God wants to do is refocus His people on Him. Where it's all about Him. The main event, the focus, the desire, the passion, the awe, the wonder is all about Jesus, who is the superstar here. Are you hearing me, somebody?
Yeah.
Not about some personality that can wow people. Not even about giftings. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
But about Jesus.
Amen.
The giftings are not to promote us, but to promote Him. They're to point to Him. Amen? He says the Lord is going to destroy this, verse 8. The lawless one will be revealed, the Antichrist, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of His mouth and destroy when? The brightness of His coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So there's a counterfeit revival. Amen? With all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Because why? They did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Where we refuse to allow God to rule or reign in us, we give permission for the enemy to stay there and camp. How many want to be completely free? God wants His people completely free. No part dark. No part given over to Satan. God wants a people that are pure, that are full of His light, full of His truth, full of Him. Because He's light and truth. In order for us to avoid chaos, confusion, every evil work is going to require that our lives are completely filled with the Holy Spirit. That we give God full permission to possess every part of us. Do you understand? If you marry somebody, you marry the whole person. Are you hearing me? I married half of you. The other half belongs to somebody else. No, that's not how it works. Amen? When you get married, it's like, no, we're in this forever. You're all mine and I'm all yours. Amen? And nobody else coming between us. That's a good marriage. Can you say amen?
Yes, amen?
Likewise, The Lord does not want His people giving themselves over to adultery, giving themselves over to other gods, other lovers, allowing other things to come in between Him and us. Are you hearing me? No gods before Him. You want to get the chaos out and you want to get the peace in. The darkness has to be filled with the light, and it's God's word. It speaks, amen? Speaks into the darkness, and He creates the light. Hallelujah. And where the light is, the darkness cannot stay. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Luke 11:24, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he looks through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. And then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. What happened here? He's talking about a vessel that was simply cleansed, but not filled. Do you understand that people come to church sometimes, they get cleansed, but they don't get filled. And the enemy is a sore loser. And if he got chased out, he's going to say, you know what? I'm going to bring in some reinforcements. I'm going to bring in the big guns here. And he starts stinging up on that person. Why? Because there's a void. And where there's a void, there's confusion. There's darkness. There's a place where the enemy can camp out. Are you hearing me? So God wants to bring light into every area of darkness. And when the word comes, the enemy can no longer exist there. He can no longer stay there. Most deliverance takes place simply through the entrance of the truth spoken by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Just as God, the Holy Spirit, wants to fill us, so Satan is looking for vessels to fill as well. The demons are looking for a place. And that's why, as believers, hear me, we need to be very vigilant. We need to be alert. We need to be watchful. And we need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit daily. We're to put on, as Paul said into the Ephesians chapter 6, what? The full armor of God. So that we are protected. Because even after we've been washed, the devil's going to look for a place. And he'll usually find it in an area of compromise. Where we know God doesn't approve of this, but we choose to do contrary to what we know. That's what he's looking. He's just looking for a crack in the door. Just a little sympathy. 2 Peter 2:20 says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Colossians 3 and verse 5. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater worshiping the things of this world. Because of these things, or these sins, the anger of God is coming. Now listen, he says, to the repentant, are there repentant ones in here today? Those who have turned to Christ, amen, turned away from sin and turned to Jesus. You used to do these things. When your life was still part of this world. You see, the repentant ones are the ones that used to do these things. The unrepentant are the ones that may call on Jesus, but they still do these things. And they give license for the enemy. Because he can only camp out in the darkness. And where God is not. And if you're not giving God permission, are you hearing me, somebody? God wants you to be full of His Holy Spirit. No part dark. No place given to the devil. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior. These are all works of the flesh, slander and dirty language. How do you do that? Well, you can't overcome these things in your own strength or your own willpower. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is found in Christ. It's in Him. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit we overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's not in me, it's of Him. It's by the grace of God we overcome. It's by the ability of God that we overcome. He's slapping that pulpit again. Hallelujah. God wants His people free. Whomsoever is free indeed. And so He said, don't lie to each other. Quit it. Every time you tell a half-truth or you lie, you're aligning yourself with darkness. For you have stripped off, He says, your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. You're a new creation in Christ. Don't live according to that law of sin and death anymore, amen? Live according to the rule of the Holy Spirit in you. That voice that says, this is the way, walk in it. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. What do we need to do? God says your responsibility is to put me on like clothing every day. Amen? To be filled, to be saturated with my presence. Amen? And that way the enemy has no access because he's roaring. Amen? He's wandering around. He's looking for some place of access. He hates it when he gets kicked out of a place. Amen? Where he was once at. Have you ever met anybody who was once doing really good? They got saved, radically saved. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all excited about Jesus. And then over a period of time, something happens where they begin to wander far away from God, and before you know it, they're in darkness and they're worse off than they were in the beginning. That's what he's talking about. Be vigilant. Pay attention. We're in a war. You cannot be sleeping in the foxhole. Amen? You need to stay awake in the Spirit. And when you see that enemy, you know, you don't just get preoccupied with rebuking him. You just call on Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Yeah. Folks, let me just run this by you real quick. If our Christianity doesn't look like Jesus and the apostles, throw it out. There's a lot of stuff that is being tossed around and taught around that doesn't line up with Jesus and the apostles and the things they did. Especially when it comes to spiritual warfare. People have come up with all kinds of crazy ideas about spiritual warfare. Are you hearing me? This is the key. Are you ready for this? This is the key to overcoming in spiritual war. Guard yourself. Arm yourself with Christ. Amen? Don't allow access. Don't compromise with the enemy at all. Be done with the enemy. He only hates you. Amen? And sharpen your sword. The word of God. Amen? And you use that word. Amen? When he comes at you with a lie, you speak the word. Amen? And it sends him flying. Just like Jesus in the wilderness did. We don't have to be shouting at all the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Are you hearing me, somebody? We just simply need to guard this thing right here and this thing right here. Put on the armor and use the word of God. Amen. And we don't have to be shouting at the spirits. Amen. And getting preoccupied with demons and doorknobs and all this other crazy stuff that's going on. If you would guard your integrity, guard your heart, the enemy has no place in you. He has no place to camp out. The real spiritual battle, folks, is not in the etherville around us. The real spiritual battle is right here. Amen? In our thought life, in our minds. And we're not going to give place to the devil. We're not going to entertain evil thoughts. You can't always prevent the evil thoughts, but you can prevent them, amen, from camping out, amen, and entertaining those evil thoughts. And we take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And you don't know what the obedience of Christ is if you don't know this word, amen. So I encourage you to read, to study, to get the word in you, amen. You got to have, it's all right to be protected, amen, by the armor of God, but you got to take in your hand the word of God. Amen. This is your offensive weapon to be used against the enemy. Am I speaking the truth today?
Yes.
This is the revelation that God gave to Paul and for the church. If we would follow his writings, follow his teachings, it's about our character. It's about protecting our hearts and our lives from the enemy. It's not about getting preoccupied with territorial spirits and all this other stuff. Jesus will deal with those things. And guess what? If they don't have access to us, then they can't function. They're just looking for people to agree with them. And they can only be effective through people that agree with them. But if you and I will guard ourselves and keep ourselves filled up with Jesus every day, amen, then the enemy doesn't have any place. And that's how we do it. We take it one heart at a time, one soul at a time, one person at a time, amen, coming to Jesus, getting sanctified, set apart from Him, filled with the Holy Spirit, and raised up to serve Him, amen. And as God has destroyed works of darkness in our lives, now we can go and help others get free. Are you hearing me? I should have been a big amen there. When we refuse to yield to the sin nature, the devil no longer has a place to stay. That sin nature is completely corrupt. It's worthless. Amen. It can't be patched up. It can't be redeemed. It has to be starved out and put to death. That sin nature that lurks within has to be starved out. It has to be ignored. It has to be put to death. Don't feed it. Don't feed your lusts. Don't look at things you shouldn't look at. Amen. Don't listen to things you shouldn't listen to. Don't listen to other voice. Starve it out. When the devil sees that he has no audience, he'll leave you. You resist him by saying no. No. What part of no don't you understand? Do you understand? That's how it works. But if we say, oh, well, one more roll in the hay, one more little this, one more little snort for the nose, whatever it might be, that's all he says, oh, that's all I needed. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to bring some others with me, and we're going to come back in. We're going to have a heyday. Do you understand that God gives you responsibility, and he gives me responsibility for myself? I can't be responsible for everybody's personal walk. Amen? I'm just the paper boy. There's people at times that actually want to hold me responsible for their own actions. It's happened before. Well, if you had warned me, did you know it was wrong? Yes. Then the Holy Spirit was speaking to you already. You didn't need me to tell you something you already knew. Romans 6, 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But instead do what? But present yourselves to God. Now, if we present ourselves to God, you can't be presenting yourself to sin. Every day, we simply present ourselves to God. In every decision, we present ourselves to God. We let God lead us. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are what? The sons of God. Present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, I want to just make this point here. Hear me. I've said this before. How many believe that God has called every one of us to serve Him? Okay. All right. We are never to serve God for our own benefit. We are never to serve God for our own benefit or selfish ambition. What we do in acts of service should be totally for Jesus and in the will of God. What we do as acts of service should be totally for Jesus. Well, I'm doing this because it makes me feel good. No. Sometimes the will of God is going to come at a price. Sometimes doing the will of God will require suffering. So if you're just doing it for some personal benefit, You're doing it with the wrong motivation. What we do as an act of service for Jesus, amen, is out of love and out of gratitude based upon everything He's done for us. We owe Him. We are debtors to love, amen, and to love God back by serving Him as unto the Lord and not first personal gain or benefit. A lot of people get into ministry because they want a big this and a big that and they want a name. Are you hearing me? It's not about the messenger. It's about the God who sent the messenger. And we've got to point our attention on Jesus and say, it's because of the Lord that I serve Him. Jesus said in Luke 17:10, so likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, what do we say? We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Do you understand? Jesus had no agenda of His own. He had no selfish ambitions. He came to do the will of the Father. God has called you and I to do likewise, to follow Jesus and to do His will. Not for personal gain, but for His gain. Amen? So we're bringing a return to the Lord for all that He's done for us. We're blessing Him back. Amen? How many want to bless Jesus? So when we come together and we come to pray and we come together as a fellowship, as a church, it's got to be about Jesus. Amen. It's about glorifying Jesus, magnifying Jesus. Make it about Him and not about self. I don't come here just for I'm going to get some goosebumps. Amen. Those goosebumps won't last very long. You need an encounter with God that will change and transform you and I. Amen? And the more that we spend time in His presence, the more time we spend with Him, the more that we will reflect Him. We will become like Him. We will become like the one we behold. We look to Him. Amen? In all things. Hallelujah. We want to be a reflection of His glory in this world. God wants to raise every one of us up in this room. And He's got power. Amen? And He's got authority for those who will yield themselves to His Word. Those who will commit themselves to Him. He's got power and He's got authority. Amen? So that we can now go in His name and destroy the works of the devil and set the captives free and heal the sick and raise the dead and proclaim the coming kingdom of our God. Jesus is coming, amen? And He's coming for people that are looking for Him. Hallelujah. Who are the ones who are looking for Jesus? Well, they're the ones who have divorced themselves from this world that they may gain that one. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you are experiencing chaos, confusion in your life, what it means is there's a lack of God in that area. Are you hearing me? If your world, if your life is chaotic, if it is confusing, if it is dark, it means there's a lack or an absence of Christ, who is the light. The solution, the answer, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to give no place to the devil. Jesus bought me with His blood. I am His bride. I will give myself to no other lovers. I am fully His. He is fully mine. Are you hearing me? If you try to live a halfway Christian life, it never works. You can't be cheating on God. Amen? You got to make a decision today. Today is your opportunity to make a decision. Maybe you're here today and you just need to recommit your life. Maybe God has been speaking to you this morning and saying you need to surrender once again to me. You need to rediscover what it is that we had between us. I want you to divorce yourself from religious acts or works of service, amen, and commit yourself and connect yourself to me and get to know me. And out of this relationship will flow the ministry, amen, that I've called you to. Are you willing today to say yes to the Lord and no to yourself? There's a struggle, isn't there? There's a battle. Who will rule me today? Who will be Lord today? Will it be me or will it be Jesus? God gives you charge of yourself, but you have to willfully submit yourself to His authority every day.